It's Thursday afternoon. So, are you hydrating? Are you past the coffee stage? What's up with the liquid, sir?
No, actually, I got my third cup right here. Oh, wow. It's been a busy day today, but I have been hydrating. You know, I'm already past two full, I don't know, 24-ounce bottles, I think, of water. So, you know, a little bit of both, but, you know, that coffee keeps me going. That's the fuel for me.
All right, so let's get into what has gone into the week that was and the week that will be, and we'll start locally on your end with the result last time out. And it was obviously a disappointing result. RSL got the Duke at a plus 350, knocking off Seattle 2-1. What's been the response over the last couple of days?
Well, there's a lot of grunting and moaning and people being frustrated with the team. Understandably so. I get that where you are in the standings, used to a team that's always in the playoffs and one loss away from matching that 2016 season at 14 losses, that people are upset. Brian Smetzer was pretty firm, saying that there is no excuses.
Right.
The team played okay. He didn't think they were as good as the stats may say. And I really like that he brought that up, that, you know, when we look at games, sometimes we think, oh, possession, oh, passes, crosses. No, the team just did not play that well, especially in the attacking third. It was just a lot of half chances, but nothing really there. We're very dependent on what Raul does. I think the team deflated a little bit after that VAR call that takes away Raul Ruidíaz's goal. But once again, this team is too veteran. They're too poised. They've been there, done that. They cannot be taken out of a game because of something like that. So credit to RSL, great on the counter. Sergio Cordova has been amazing. I mean, he's 6'2". He freaking flies. He does it all. He was a pain for Sounders in general. Severino, just fantastic. So it was a good team. Pablo Ruiz, I thought, had a really good game for them. The positives here, just to kind of close it down, I think that one good thing about the RSL game was that there could maybe be some consistency at the holding mid position. I thought Rusnak and Danny Leyva were really good. I thought they were the best thing out of Sounders during that game, and perhaps Brian Smetzer can build on that, and now they move on to the next task at hand.
So the way things are right now in the West, as we get into, we're past the first match of the double match week for some folks. Right now, Seattle 10th, but much like it is in the East, and you know, we talk about it on the show with where Atlanta United is concerned, you have six teams separated by 2 points, going from 6 to 11 in the West right now, and everybody short of LAG. LAG's got matches in hand, one or two, depending on who we're talking about here, so they can get some space. LAG's at 33. Vancouver at 33 after the win over Colorado. They've won 2 of 3. Nashville now below the playoff bar at 33. Portland, 7 wins, 33 points. Seattle at 32, you've lost 3 of 4. Colorado now with the loss at 31. And we knew this, and this is something that we're going to continue to sit there and have as our flag for the remainder of the year. We knew it was going to be this crazy in the West. That's nuts.
Yeah, no, it's insane. But it just tells you what we had discussed and we've been discussing over the last couple of shows, is the parity around the league, is the bar is just higher. It used to be that maybe, I don't know, 60 points, maybe 50, no, not 60, maybe I'm going too far, but there was just a different point base for both getting the shield and just making it to the playoffs. But all of that now is just raised completely, right? So it is something that was also built by Nashville having to move to the West, and just a lot of things that have been going on within MLS, but mainly it's just how good teams are in the parity in general there.
RSL's at 37. They're at they're in fifth. Minnesota United a point above them at 38 in fourth. FCD's got 4 points of breathing room, but they've also played 27 matches, the most of anybody in the West, at 42. Then it's a six-point gap to Austin at second at 48. LAFC, 18 wins in 25. They're at 57 points. They are in first, 9 points clear of the pack. When you look back at last week in the West, you had Portland losing in a crossover to Toronto. You had Houston losing in a crossover to Montreal. FCD put four on San Jose. Colorado and the Crew drew. Mm-hmm. Austin in an absolutely nuts game with Sporting won a seven-goal thriller at home, which I know was too close for comfort for them at Q2. LAG put five on Vancouver. LAFC just completely and totally took Charlotte to the woodshed, as they say here in the South. And then you had Minnesota winning 2-1, LA getting the one goal. Let me ask you, all right, so before we get into the rest of the matches of the week that was in the West, LAFC openly admitted in a very San Antonio Spurs-like way that Gareth Bale and Chiellini were not going to play because of load management. Load management. They actually said that, load management. And then it was soft tissue injuries. They didn't play against DC. You dig the transparency there?
Yeah, of course. And it's they're saving face a little bit, right? They don't want people to think that their superstars are injured or they're not playing because of a coach's decision in terms of play. It's just load management. And I mean, it is hilarious because they're a team that's deep enough that can do that. However, for me, for Nico Moreno, the guy who's been complaining about both moves, it just tells you that they didn't really need these guys. They're just extra pieces, especially Chiellini, because he has not been good. At least Bale has been productive. But that's what he tells me, that neither guy was really needed, and that reason why they're here is, one, a little bit of they're coming and we want to be the team that brings this big name stars, and we're going to ruin the fact that the league is getting away from the stigma of the retirement league. And, mm-hmm. and in reality, because they really do believe that perhaps these two pieces can make the difference in the playoffs. And that's what it is. That's what LAFC is about this season, and why I'm still doubting that Brian Rodriguez will leave, because this organization has been demanding, or the fan base has been demanding a title. Yeah. The organization is so great that it has the expectations that they have not reached. And that's why they're doing everything. And they've brought everybody and their moms to this team, and they're fantastic. They're deep, but they still have to make it happen when it counts, that it's on the field.
All right, so then getting back into the matchups from the week that was in the West, what stuck out to you outside of your matchup against RSL?
Ah, man, well, what really stood out is that we still have to pump our brakes on Austin. I've been a believer that they were going to be a contender to the playoffs and a very good team, but I still don't see that juggernaut that a lot of people see. Defensively, that's objective. They were down in the scoreboard. They had to work their A off mm-hmm. to get back into a game against Sporting Kansas City, against a terrible squad. Mm-hmm. And the LA Galaxy was another one that stood out for me, because they're starting to get some momentum. And Chicharito Hernandez is starting to get back to that goal scorer mentality. And now they got Ricky Push. And mm-hmm. so I think that they're really starting to get some gears and really get going. And that could be a dangerous thing for a team with talent and with a decent coach. So that's another one that stood out to me. I know Vancouver is nobody's favorite, and there was a silly red card on Dahomey and all of that, but that's not a terrible team. I think a 5-2 win was a very solid one for the LA Galaxy.
You look at LAG, and after that match, or before that match, when they had lost 3 of 4, they lost to Sporting Kansas City. They had 4 on the board put on by Sporting Kansas City. Then it was in Dallas, and Dallas traditionally very tough. It was a 1-0 win for Dallas. Mm-hmm. Then that was the game against Atlanta United. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And then it was the loss to Colorado in Colorado. And it just reinforces once again how tough it is to win on the road in Major League Soccer. When you look at a team like LAG that's putting up big numbers at home, yet they are losing on the road, and that's why they're right now hovering around 500. If you're looking at wins and losses, 10 wins, 11 losses on the season, but they've got matches in hand. They can do some damage if they pay attention to those matches that they can make up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's really what we're, that's where we are now is, can you look at this schedule and said, hey, this is the way we're going to do it, right? And it goes down for everybody. Seattle has three game stretch away from home. That's difficult. So can you do it? They did it last year. I think that LA Galaxy has to kind of look at the same thing. Austin's another team that does it probably better on the road than they do at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is about getting that mentality of, can we do it away from home, and can we manage the short rest games? I mean, you know, Seattle and a lot of these teams had, you know, short rest from the weekend. So it's going to be about depth, rotating the squads, and just really getting results. That's what it's going to be about.
Last week in the East, and this is where we get the Western perspective on what happened in the Eastern Conference. Philly put 4 on Chicago. The Revs beat DC United. Everybody's beating DC United, so not necessarily a surprise. Good 3 points for the Revs. FC Cincinnati, Atlanta United. Andrew Gutman hits the match-tying goal to get a point for Atlanta on the road before the loss on Wednesday night to Red Bulls. Inter Miami against an NYC team that has lost now 3 in a row after the loss to Charlotte in the midweek. So 2 quick losses in succession for NYC. We talked about the Montreal win. Then you're getting into the matches in the midweek. Toronto and the Revs, a 2-2 draw. Red Bulls, when we talked about that one. Charlotte, the shocker against NYC. I'm circling NYC right now and pointing my finger going, you know, keep an eye on NYC, but not for the reasons that folks normally would sit there and say, keep an eye on NYC. This is not your father's NYC club since Tati Castellanos has gone.
If you have been listening to soccer down here and you've been with us here with Coffee with Nico, then you are not surprised by any means that this is happening. Mm-hmm. It is not just about results. It's about a team that's inconsistent. It's about a team that has lost leadership. You saw the fight between Maxi Rodriguez and Santiago Rodriguez. Maxi Morales and Santiago Rodriguez. There is something not functioning in that locker room. And I got to tell you that whenever you have key components of a coaching staff leave and there's as much young talent, because it's a very young team. Look at Talis Magno, look at Santi, look at the rest of these guys that are just Andrade, all these young guys, they need that leadership. They need that continuity, and that's gone. And that's including Tati, who's a guy that was as good as he is on the field, but he was also one of those guys that was a role model for some of these guys. So there is just a lot of inconsistency. Alex Callens being out is a huge deal. Chenault has that banger in the last game, but defensively very, very poor. So that's exactly what's going on with NYC. And I'm totally with you. This could be a trend. They could very easily fall off. And if they're not careful, those 42 points are going to start looking like it's not enough at the end when it's all said and done.
Right now, you look at how things are in the standings. You mentioned that 42. Philadelphia, even having lost 2 of 3, they're at 48. CF Montreal, soon to be probably Impact, hopefully maybe, at 43. NYC, having lost 3 in a row, they're stuck at 42. Red Bulls are only 2 points behind in chasing after that 3 spot and the home first round matchup. Crew at 34. Then you get your gap. And this is where a point that I make on the morning show. 5 points separate 5 from 13. And this is how nuts it has been this season. And we knew this going in, and we've said this about teams that you could eliminate from the playoff race before you could sit there and say, I don't know who I'm going to eliminate, but 5 through 13 separated by 5 points. Crew, Revs at 34, identical win record. So going to, Crew right now with 1 less loss right now at 34 points. So, and plus 5 in goal difference to plus 2. Orlando City, who they won last time out. And this is what I always seem to do this time of year. I use that three letter word, conjunction. But when it comes to Orlando City, you get that you get the Oscar Pereja fade, it seems like, where they're trying to be more pragmatic and just trying to survive and get a playoff berth, and it ends up costing them in the end. Then enter Miami, identical record with Orlando City right now, 9-6-10. So you got to go to goal difference, and this is where the fun starts. -8 in goal difference for Orlando, -9 for Inter Miami, who play at DRV PNK. That's not all at 33 points. You've got Cincinnati, who, you know, still they seem to be drawing their way through this particular part of the schedule. They're at 33, but they only have 8 wins. Charlotte, the big win, helped them out to get them to 32. Toronto, once again, unbeaten in their last 5. The Italian invasion seems to be working for them. Chicago lost their last time out. They're at 30, and they've got one less match played than Toronto. And Atlanta United still there at 5 points out of 5th. 4 points out of the playoff spot. That's where things are right now in the East. 3, 6, 9 clubs and 5 points in the East.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's going to be a race to the finish. It's going to be as we expected, right? I mean, when we talked a couple of weeks ago and we're thinking who's in, who's out, we've been covering this league way too long to know that what we say means squat.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, there's certain things about it that things are going to happen. Toronto has been great. Bernadeschi could be one of the best players that I've seen come in and have a great impact on his squad, even better than Insigne. I was excited for Insigne the whole time. I had no idea that the other Italian was the guy who I was going to be talking about, because he's just been great at generating soccer and a goal scorer and just everything he's been doing. So if they get into the playoffs, whoo, that's going to be difficult, right? Cincinnati being able to just keep up despite them being a cluster – malfunction defensively, 45 goals given up this season. I mean, they're just quite terrible, and they're there. And who thought Inter Miami would be 8th? So when we look at teams like Atlanta and Chicago and Toronto, all I to their fan bases is nobody's out of it. Nobody is out of the playoffs right now. There's no one safe. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and we just talked about New York City FC perhaps not being safe. So that is exactly what we have with MLS. And it's fantastic. I love to see it. I like it when, you know, it's the final day of the season and is, you know, judgment day or whatever you want to call it. And you know, every game matters. I love that. And I think that's what we're going to have. A lot of talent, a lot of teams that are coming up. And it's going to be exciting, man.
We're just going to call it Judgment Day from this moment forward, because that's where we're heading toward. I think it's going to be an absolutely crazy Judgment Day when we get to the last match of the regular season. All right, time to play cliffhanger for the week that will be. And you have Friday Night Football at LAG in Carson, California, just outside of the range of the Goodyear blimp. Seattle goes to LAG. Obviously, LAG is a home favorite at -110. What's your early vibe on this one?
Oh, it's going to be a great game. I think that we're going to see quite a few goals. There is one factor that hasn't been there for LA Galaxy, and his name is Jovlich. He could be an issue for Seattle, especially with some of those deficiencies this team has shown lately. However, the numbers, the history, the fact that Seattle has been unbeaten in the last 8 against the LA Galaxy, a team that I think has hit rock bottom right now. Talk to Nicolas Odero. He says that there's no margin for error. Everybody in this team is bought in. I think that the Sounders can start to turn around the season here late. So I think the Sounders are going to take it, but it's going to be a fun game. I'm talking about 3-2, 4-3. That's what I see this game going in.
So you're saying take the over, sir. That's what you're saying with your juice boxes. Take the over.
We got
8 matches on Saturday. Red Bulls hosting FC Cincinnati. Red Bulls a home favorite. Not a surprise. CF Montreal, a soon-to-be Impact, probably, hopefully, maybe. Home favorite against the Revs at a -128. DC and Philly. Philly is a road favorite at a +122. Inter Miami at DRV PNK hosting Toronto. Toronto, we know what they are at home. We don't know what they are on the road. And right now, because of that, Inter Miami is the home favorite in the composite.
Yeah, and hold that one for me, because I cannot wait to see Pozuelo after everything that's been after, you know, he's kind of took out some of that dirty laundry and showed it around a little bit against Bob Bradley with a brand new team. I know Bob's going to want to get in here and really give it to it in Miami. There's all kinds of stories reading on it. I'm excited for it. And I think Toronto is going to have to play at their very best to try to stop this Inter Miami team that just seems to be functioning at least up top. But this is another one where I would take the over on goals because both could be better in the back line.
All right, let's go west. Minnesota hosting Austin, 8 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. I'm thinking take the over on this one too.
Absolutely. Two MVP candidates here, Bebelo Reynoso and DeRussi is going to be all offense on this one. We've talked about what Minnesota just seems to be getting right. And if it's not the contract, is the fact that, you know, some of those guys that came on late that were supposed to be studs were not playing at their best. But if we saw something against that in that last Nashville match, is that some of these guys are for real. Fragapane continues to score, continues to get behind. Amarija is not going to score 25 like he said a couple years ago, but he's definitely scoring. And I'm just taken by Laud and being able to play everywhere on the field. I think he's in there no matter what. And this is a Minnesota team that's also missing some guys. So I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but they might be a team to watch if they make it to the playoffs, despite everything that we've said. And I know everybody, you have me on record. Nedrian Heat's awful. You know, I'll own up to that. But there just seems to be a certain momentum. And whenever you get a locker room and a group that's starting to have fun, produce, and get results, man, you know, they can be, you know, real tough to beat.
Composite. Austin's a plus 214 right now, so keep an eye on that number as well. We wrap up Saturday. Colorado and the Prairie Dogs hosting Houston. Colorado's a home favorite. RSL's a bigger home favorite at the Riot hosting Vancouver. And MLS After Dark San Jose hosting LAFC. In the other version of the Cali Classico, LAFC is a home as a road favorite at a minus 118 going up against Luchi Gonzalez. What do you think about Luchi now being the head coach in San Jose?
I love it. I think it's a great find. It gives you a little bit of it allows you to just keep Covello helping out your academy, bringing guys up, doing his thing, and you bring in a Luchi Gonzalez that gives you three things. One, a name that you're not the only team in California that doesn't have a interesting coach. You know, he's marketing. They've been talking about, oh, we're getting the national team coach, you know, all of this stuff. So they get a little bit of that. They get a guy who's great developing players with young guys who I thought was shown the door way too early in Dallas, despite him having a team that, yes, they didn't get results, but the team was still kind of building. They took away a bunch of young, talented guys from his squads. And then number three, someone with a Latin American, Hispanic, you know, background. It seems like San Jose wants that. They want to have a guy that can bring and talk to that crowd in San Jose that's also Hispanic. So I think that it's a great find. I think he's a very good coach, both from the developing point, from being a strategist. I think that he's going to be a really, really good coach there for San Jose.
All right. So Sunday starts with Crew at Lower.com and Atlanta United. Crew, obviously, a home favorite at a minus 120. What do you think?
Ooh. Would you say minus 120?
Minus 120 on the Crew with Cucho and Lucas Zelarayan going up against Atlanta United, who's pushing plus 300.
Wow. Oof. dang, yeah, that's a tough one, but it's going to be a good game. Unfortunately for Atlanta, if there's one thing Columbus has is a solid attack and a bunch of players that just understand their system. A Cucho that although he hasn't kept the scoring in the way he started in the league. Mm-hmm. He's going to be behind the defenders. He's going to be looking for some. And Lucas Olarejan, that in set pieces where Atlanta just seems to not get it together defensively, he could be extremely dangerous, whether he's putting it to somebody else, you know, right on the box, or whether he's putting it right in between the goal. So it's going to be a difficult one for Atlanta. Can they pull a result? Can they hold it for a tie, a draw, and just continue to maybe try to be a little bit more pragmatic? I like what Gonzalo did in the last game against the Red Bulls. I honestly thought, wow, you know, this is a very offensive formation. You had all three offensive guys that you want to see in there, right? Amada, Moreno, or at least me, I'll say mm-hmm. me. Amada, yeah. Moreno, Joseph Martinez, Cisneros, you had Araujo. I mean, man, this team was fucking loaded up top.
Mm-hmm.
And they just couldn't do it. So maybe being pragmatic might work on this one, but it'll be a good game. I'm excited to watch it.
All right, so the others on the board, and it goes back to our NYC thought pattern. NYC has to travel to Chicago. Chicago is a +130 home favorite.
Wow, okay. All right. Mm,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then Charlotte's at home against Orlando. Sporting is at home hosting Portland. Sporting is a home favorite, almost even money at a +102. And then to finish the weekend, MLS Sunday After Dark, 8:30 Eastern at Geodis. Nashville hosting FC Dallas. Nashville's on the minus side at a -110.
Man, that you might want to take the under on this one.
Yes.
The 0-0 to 1-0 affair. But let's touch up on this one just because Nashville is really starting to feel like they don't have enough. That style that Gary Smith was able to gain success on is no longer there, because defensively, they're too exposed, right? I mean, before Nashville, if they were going to have a game, you knew two things. It was going to be a low-scoring game. They were not going to give up a lot of goals. And that there were going to be a lot of sharing partners on the offensive end. It was going to be, you know, Sapong, Zimmerman, whoever it was, Cadiz at the time. Or there was going to be a lot of guys scoring. Right now, there just isn't that. They've become very flat, very slow in transition, and dependent on a moment of brilliance of Hany Mukhtar. So because of that, I just think that they have a lot of issues. And I don't know if there's enough time or enough pieces there to really put it together. I think Dax had a couple of quotes this week that I thought were interesting in just the way that the team's just not fighting. The team's just not getting those goals that they were a couple of seasons ago. So they're a team that really needs this game. And if they don't get their things together, they might be giving up their spot or their ability to be close to the playoffs to somebody else. But that's going to be a good one. On the other side, Dallas doing their thing, but a lot of the same, right? Whenever Areola is hot, Ferreira's hot, and Velasco trying mid-range shots all game long, it's fantastic. But whenever a team plays in deep blocks and they make it really difficult for them and maybe force them to centralize their game and don't give them the width that they want, they just don't have a lot of answers. And defensively, that's another team that just can't really put it together. So it's going to be interesting in terms of points. It's not going to be a fun game. It's not going to be a fun game. If you're going to watch this game late Sunday night, make sure you have nice bottle of your favorite Hard A. No beer for this one.
So well, unless, of course, you want to go to sleep early and you want to have this one up on the screen, right? You sit there and it's like, man, I'm tired, but I want to find a way to go over the top and actually conk out for the weekend. You're saying that National and FC Dallas is recommended if you really want to nap out and start your weekend off on that note, right?
Absolutely. And now watch this be a 4-4 affair, and I'm just not going to talk to you for a week.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. All right, so what's going on at Pulso Sports? I'm with Nico Moreno. Oh, by the way, congrats on getting to hang in the booth the other night.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was fantastic. We had a really good time despite the loss. We got to do the pregame as well, which that was kind of new for me. I had done TV for just broadcast, but in this one, we had a whole half hour preview. We got to go over some goals of the best goals of the week. It was a really fun broadcast. I thought we did great.
So what's going on with you and Pulso in the next upcoming week before we catch back up with you as we head toward Judgment Day?
Absolutely. Well, Pulso, you are going to have to wait till the next following week. But we do have a couple of things brought on, put together. We want to have a one-on-one with Peruvian striker Raul Ruidíaz that we've been waiting on. Hopefully, we're going to get that done. The team has been moving around. They left this morning. They won't be back till Saturday. So we'll see when we get that across. But we do have a set interview with Raul Ruidíaz, which are always fun.
All right. So he is at El Rolo NW on the Twitters. He's in the booth. He's taking over media in the PNW. It's our buddy, Nico Moreno.
Hey, and watch two things, man. I don't know if you heard this, but this whole Cifuentes move to Brighton, I don't like it for LAFC.
Yeah.
Once again, just too many moves. Too many moves when you are getting ready to, one, hit the shield, two, you're looking to get that championship. The Brian Rodriguez thing, I don't see happening, or at least I was told that it was unlikely to happen, regardless of what you might see on Twitter. But the seafood thing, man, I don't like it. There isn't another player in that team that can do what Cifuentes can do, not from the midfield. So if you're going to maybe put down, if you keep Brian and you bring him down a line, maybe you might have the ability to do that. But, man, I don't like what Chirundolo, maybe not Chirundolo, what that front office is doing, just making too many moves right before things really matter.
Yep, John Thornton will keep an eye on the GM. So the man taking over the PNW is our buddy Nico Moreno. Nico, my friend, always great to catch up with you. We will catch up with you next week as we get closer to Judgment Day.
Let's do it.